Our first reading for the presentation of Jesus and the purification of Mary is from Hebrews chapter 2. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. For surely it is not angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the second chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written of the law of the Lord. Every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people Israel. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray that verse we just sang. Jesus, by your presentation, when they blessed you, weak and poor, make us see your great salvation, seal us with your promise sure, and present us in your glory to your Father, cleansed and pure. Amen. It is, Pastor Walther mentioned, we are celebrating the presentation of Jesus at the temple. And the Epiphany season, the season of the church year that we're in, has been about shining a light upon who and what Jesus is. That's what Epiphany means. It means to shine a light upon. But the reality that hopefully has dawned on you as we have gone throughout this season more and more, when we find out who he is and what he comes to do, is that he comes to do these things for our benefit. That who Jesus is and what he does works out in our favor. But as we have begun reading through the gospel once again, you see that the gospels are not simply a long list of awesome achievements of Jesus, a series of impressive feats and miracles proving that he has astonishing capabilities. In fact, you may have noticed that during the season of Epiphany, we've had little of that at all. It is almost as if the church does not think that that is what is most enlightening as to who Jesus is. Instead, throughout the season of Epiphany, we have seen an odd cast of characters and very little of Jesus doing miracles, very little of Jesus even speaking. Epiphany begins with some magicians coming to worship a child, a born king of the Jews. They offer him some gifts, then they head home again. After that, we heard the account of Jesus being baptized by a baptizer who doesn't think that event needs to happen at all? From there, we went from that baptizer calling Jesus the Lamb of God. And last week, we heard Jesus gathering some not-so-impressive men around him to be his followers. So that is the list of things that we have read about Jesus, who he is and what he does. And anyone listening in on that list might wonder, is that the best you can do? That does not sound like it shines a light much about anything. Now, as you've been in the services, hopefully over these last few weeks, you've heard us tell you about why some of these things are important, what they do mean for us. But that is not a list that would impress most people. And today we have another one. Again, it is light on the sensational type of thing. Indeed, Jesus doesn't say a word in our reading today. Instead, Jesus is presented at the temple in accordance with the Old Testament Jewish law that every firstborn male belongs to the Lord. But the Old Testament law did say that the parents could redeem the child for a small price. And so this is why Joseph and Mary take the baby Jesus to the temple today. That's it. Like I said, that does not sound impressive. But it does, again, point out something that Jesus comes to do for us. Here, his parents clearly place Jesus under the law, just like every other Jewish male, as if Jesus is no different. He undergoes the law just like all of the rest of them. Our epistle reading today from Hebrews likewise begins with something that may not sound impressive. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things. He is simply restating something that we heard and talked about during the Christmas season, that Jesus took on flesh and blood. Jesus became a man. He became a human. And if you are looking out at the scope of life on the planet Earth and the hierarchy that you probably have at least loosely in your head somewhere, that verse may not sound so bad. I mean, is there any better choice for Jesus to do if he's going to come on Earth? Even if you don't believe in evolution, which, by the way, just to be clear, you should not believe in evolution, but even for those of us who do not, you have to look around the world and see that humans are at the top of the hierarchy. And so for Jesus to come at the top, we might think, well, of course, which of us would rather be a cow or a dog or a chicken or any animal? And so it sounds not that bad that Jesus would take on flesh and blood. But look at how the sentence in our epistle reading continues. It doesn't say that Jesus took on flesh and blood so that he could enjoy the finer things of life. It doesn't say that he took on flesh and blood so that he could be at the top of the hierarchy. It doesn't say that he took on flesh and blood so that he could get a job earning six figures and lease out a fancy car with all of the options. That he could get season tickets to the local team. That he could take a reservation at the best steakhouse in town from time to time. If the sentence continued that way, we would all readily understand it. We like steak. We like the things that money can buy. Even if we may quibble with each other over which brand is better, that is not how the verse continues. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise took place in the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has power over death. That is the devil. Jesus took on flesh and blood. He became a man. He became a human. That through death he might defeat the devil for us. Jesus took on flesh in order to die. He became like us so that he could become a merciful and faithful high priest, that he could make propitiation for the sins of the people. And this is how the church sees Jesus differently than the rest of the world. And this is why the list of readings that we have had over these past few weeks, the world is not impressed with in the same way that you and I, in the same way that the church hopefully is. Now, sure, when Jesus goes on to multiply loaves, when he heals diseases, the world will perk up its ears for a bit. But then again, when he opens his mouth and teaches, like we did hear him when he had a speaking line last week, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand," the interest of the world soon wanes. But you know that as the heart of what Jesus came to do. You know that as the reason he took on flesh, so that he could die and defeat our enemy for us, the devil, and thereby free us who were in slavery to death. That is the gospel that has been revealed to you throughout the Christmas and Epiphany readings. And this is another key to the Epiphany readings, that this odd cast of characters that we talked about earlier, John the Baptist, the magicians, the disciples, even Joseph and Mary, who Jesus was, what he came to do, had to be revealed to each and every one of them. Just as it had to be revealed to Simeon in our gospel reading today. Our gospel reading from Luke chapter 2 says, "It had been revealed to Simeon by the Holy Spirit." Luke tells us that Simeon and his knowledge of this Christ, this child, came from the Holy Spirit. But you see that it is obvious that Simeon gets it, and he knows that he has been freed from death. Just as our epistle reading says, so also Simeon says, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace." Jesus comes, and Simeon and the church recognize in him our consolation. As we talked about a few weeks ago, once Jesus goes to some place, he changes it for those who follow him. So this one who becomes the propitiation for our sins by dying on the cross and lying in a grave, when he does so, he changes those places. So that when we believers die, angels carry us to Abraham's side. That is actually what Jesus says in Luke chapter 16, that someone who had been a nobody, a beggar with open sores, who lied in the streets all day, when he dies, the angels carry him to Abraham's side to await with the rest of the saints the resurrection from the dead. This is what Jesus has done for sinners. Not for a bunch of people who deserved it, but for sinners, for those who rebelled against God's law, for those who hated and mistreated each other, for those who gossip and lie, ignore God's word, and excuse themselves from it for bad reasons, for those of us who desire all sorts of things that we should not while neglecting the gifts that God has given to us. That list could go on and on, but it is simply to say that Jesus came and did this for us, for you, and for me. And in our gospel reading here, Jesus is only 40 days old. Here he is fulfilling God's law to the letter for lawbreakers. That is the inside of the Epiphany season. This list of seemingly unimpressive things that Jesus has done for us and which point us forward to his dying and rising. That has been revealed to you so that you might believe, and that by believing you may live and die like Simeon. The Christ child is brought to Simeon, and with that he knows, he gets it, he can depart in peace. We sing it after communion for the same reason. Christ has come to us. He is our consolation. He is our Savior from the slavery to death. So we can depart in peace. Amen.